do our message portion of the word. This is part three of In the Wilderness. We're calling it In the Wilderness because that's what they called the book of Numbers in this time period. And so from the very first verse of the book of Numbers, this is God leading his people in the wilderness. And so as we go into part three of In the Wilderness, we're talking about moving where God moves. We finished in chapter five last week. Chapters five through chapter nine is a lot more repetition of some of those Levitical laws, some of those rules that we went over. And so as we jump back in for part three, we're skipping through a lot of the laws and the planning and the structuring of God's people, because we talked a whole lot about that. We're going right into chapter 9 this morning, because now we're after where is God taking his people and for what purpose. How many of you know the destination that God has for you in your life? How many of you, God has given you a clear purpose? You know your mission. You don't always know how you're going to get there, but you know God is calling me to make a difference in this area. Anybody have your purpose? All right, we're going to talk about that then. Let's jump into our text. We're gonna see it in the Word, and then we're just going to ask ourselves the same question. Are we confident in trusting going where God's going because we know the destination that he's taking us to? So on that day, the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up and the cloud covered it. Now, we're jumping right into the book of Numbers, but if you remember from the Exodus story, you remember the cloud. When God is leading his people out of Egypt, he is leading them by way of a cloud. And this cloud represents the presence of God. And so where the cloud goes, the people go. And look, if you've got somewhere to be, as long as you get that part of the message, then you're probably good for this morning. Where the cloud goes, the people go. Where the presence of God rests, the people rest. When the presence of God moves, the people move. And so for the Israelites, life is all about centering themselves around the presence of God. And that means when the presence of God goes somewhere else, they go somewhere else. They move as God moves. And so here is the cloud covering this tabernacle, this sort of mobile tent of meeting tabernacle that they've built there on Mount Sinai. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, what we've been focusing on is how God sets up his people so that their entire lives can exist with God at the very center of who they are. So God is there. His presence dwells in his tabernacle, in his tent of meeting. All of the camps of the Israelites are set up in a strategic order around the tent of meeting. And so the presence of God is there. And the way they know that the presence of God is there is the cloud is covering the tabernacle. The cloud is covering the tent of meeting. So from evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That's how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they camped. And as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained at camp. How long does that have to go before you wake up every morning and the first thing you do when you come outside of your dwelling place is you look for the cloud? How long do you have to be in this rhythm with God before God teaches you, I go where God goes. If God's here, then I'm here. But the moment God's presence starts moving a different direction, I've got to pivot and start going that direction. Now, here's the advantage the Israelites have over us. You guys hear the buzz went away finally? Oh, that's so much better. I don't even know how much y'all can hear that, but for me, it's deafening. I'm ready to go now. I was just going to keep doing the intro of the sermon until it's back. Yeah. All right, God. Well, I'm going to have to pray through that later. Here's what the Israelites know. God has promised them Canaan. They have a promised land. They have a destination. They know exactly where God's taken them. Now, what they don't know is the route that God's going to take and when they're going to get there. Anybody else feel that way? I know what God's calling me for. I know what God's calling me to. I know how God has purposed my life, but I have no idea how I'm going to get there. Anyone else? No idea what path God is going to take me on. And I usually always get God's timeline wrong. When I try to do things my way, sometimes God has to slow me down. Sometimes God has to speed me up in order to go not only where God is calling me to go, but the way he's directing me to go and it, the timing that he's directing me. So if you're with me so far, I feel like I'm struggling up here, and I don't know why, because this is just such a good text. If you're with me so far, the first question we have to ask is, okay, well, where is God leading me? And I would encourage you, look, pray on this. If you don't know, pray on it. I would spend a lot of time in prayer going, God, what is the point of my life? I know the purpose of the church. We talk about it all the time, to know Christ and to make Christ known. But what about me? How am I involved in that? How are you calling me? How are you growing me? What is all of this for? I encourage you, if you've never written down your mission statement, one, you're welcome to steal mine. It's a good one, and we're all going to be doing it together, so I encourage you. Let me go to mine. I keep mine saved in my notes. This is what I have written down. I exist to reunite Christ with those whom Christ is most for. That's my purpose. That's what I care about. That's what motivates me. That's my passion. That's my conviction. I often feel like religion and the Bible and Western corporate Christianity has been hijacked by people who want to take from Christ without actually spreading the goodness of Christ. And so I feel a strong passion for reuniting Jesus with people whom Jesus is most for. And you read through the Gospels and you see people are attracted to Jesus, even though Jesus and them have very little in common. People like Jesus, even when they're nothing like Jesus, I want to go after those people. I want to hand Jesus to those whom Jesus was most for. And there's some people, Jesus goes, look, you can follow me, but I already know your heart, and I know that you won't. And there's some people that are desperately searching for the hope that can only be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how do we do it? We exist to reunite Christ with those whom Christ is most for. And so God is calling us to engage those who are far from God and give the church back to the forgotten. That's my mission. That's what I want for this church. That's what I think is missing in Lafayette Parish. I think there's a whole lot of churches that are really good at preaching the saved people. There's not a lot of people that are willing to go out and hand the church back to those whom the rest of the religious world seems to have forgotten. The very people that started the church in the first place some 2,000 years ago. I want to see the scrappy brand of forgotten, left out, desperate people whose hope is in nothing but Jesus Christ grab a hold of the gospel and move into all the world. That is our purpose. And once you know your purpose, we know who you are, when you know what God is calling you to do, like why you exist on this earth, trusting him even when you don't know the way becomes a lot easier. All of the Israelites are looking forward to the promised land. And all they have to do is go, God, you know the way better than we know. You know what's out there. You know the obstacles. You know the difficulties. You know where the victory lies. You know where to find food in the wilderness. You know where to find water in the valley. You are our hope. You are our refuge. So wherever you go, we are going to go. Once you know who God is calling you to be, all you have to do is follow his lead. And I encourage you, man, to find your purpose. Maybe you exist to know Christ and to make him known. And you want to just know him and have that deep relationship with him so that you can invite other people into relationship with him. Maybe you exist to give Christ back to those who have forgotten him and give Christ back to those whom Christ is most for and most desperately seeking. If that's your purpose, then be about the Father's business. Because once you get there, once you go, okay, I know what God's doing with my church, I know what God's doing with my family. I know who God is calling me to be. Now all I got to do is let him lead. Wherever the clouds settled, the Israelites camped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained at camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. So sometimes you want to go, and God hasn't called you to go yet. Sometimes you are waiting and you're settled and you've got all your stuff and you're like, you know what? God is calling me to dig in right now. And you wake up the next morning to realize that the cloud has moved. Anybody ever just get settled and God moves you somewhere else? Anybody go, you know what? I'm going to put down roots here. I'm going to stay here a long time. And then God interrupts your life, starts turning things upside down and starts taking you in a direction that you didn't plan on going in the first place. He says, sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and at his command, they would set out again. So here's what's going on. God would lead them to a place, and they would, first the tabernacle would get there, and they would rest under the cloud, and they would set up the tabernacle. They'd set up the tent of meeting, and then one by one, all the other tribes would come in as God has directed them in their directed order to set up their camp, to restart their life, to be about the Father's business, making sure that the presence of God is the very center in their life. And the moment they get settled, just right about the time they get their daily routine, they know which creek they're washing clothes in, and they've got their latrines dug, and they know where to move to collect water, and they know how God is going to feed them and provide for them. And the moment they get settled, they wake up and the cloud has moved again. What do you do in that moment? Because in that moment, everybody wants to go, God, I'm comfortable right now. Don't move me yet. God, can you just keep me here for a little bit longer? God, I'm not ready to go anymore. I don't think I have any more to grow anymore. Can you just keep me fixed in this place for a little while? Or are you willing to go, I know it's inconvenient. I know it doesn't always make sense to me. And I know I don't always know where the road ends. But if the cloud moves, I'm going to move. If the presence of God is going in a different direction, that better be the direction that I am going in. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and at his command, they would set out. And so sometimes the cloud stayed only for an evening until morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. And whether by day or night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. Sometimes God moves before you expect him to move. Sometimes God keeps you somewhere until you've learned every lesson that God has to teach you in that specific place. Some of you, you're looking at your life and you go, God, I feel stuck. And you're he says, ask and seek and knock. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. If you ask, God will give it to you. If you knock, the door will be open to you. If you seek after him, he's going to show it to you. You've got to ask, you've got to seek, you've got to knock. And some of y'all are like me. You're like, man, when God's not moving, I just knock on all the doors. Anybody else? If you want to know, this is a part of discernment. If you want to know when God is moving you, just start trying to go through doors God hasn't opened yet. He'll show you, right? Anybody else make that mistake? Because a lot of people, I hear this a lot. I get this a lot. People will tell me, they go, Andrew, stop trying to run ahead of God. You can't get in front of God. You can't outrun him. You got to go at his pace. And my response is always, I don't think God's going to let me outrun him. I don't think that's our problem. Honestly, if you look around at churches today, I don't think the problem is that people are trying to outrun God. I think way too many people are just trying to stay put when God's trying to move. God's saying, this is the direction we're going. And they go, I have a better way. I want to do it my way. I'm comfortable right now. I like it here. I'm going to stay put. And you can take people that direction, but I want to go where I want to go. The kind of people that usually try to stop you from going where God is calling you are usually the people that wield a whole lot of spiritual authority but never seem to produce a lot of spiritual fruit. You guys know those people? If you're being honest, you know those people. You know the people, they have a big spiritual vocabulary. They know a lot of verses. They try to direct and they try to steer and they try to control and they try to keep you from going where God is going. And here's how you know. Here's always the answer. What's the fruit? Are they actually your counselors? Are they actually your instructors? Are they actually your leaders? Is God actually instructing you to go through their counsel and through their instruction? Or are they spiritual sounding people that never seem to produce much spiritual fruit? Because here's what happens. We as Christians get comfortable somewhere. And we get good at doing it God's way. Remember what God has taken these people through. When they left Egypt, they were looking behind. They were wanting to go back to where they were. They were undisciplined. They were scattered. They were frustrated. They were rebellious. They were covetous. They were idolaters. And God has brought them to this mountain. He started teaching them and instructing them, and they started following it. And like all of us do, when God begins changing us and working in our lives, they regressed. And they have this big falling away, this big rebellious moment where they're worshiping idols up there on Mount Sinai. And so here is Moses writing out the Ten Commandments, and then he comes back down from the mountain, and you have a whole bunch of people just rebelling against God and worshiping. Really? That's our, that's Acadiana Security. That's our alarm company. So I don't know why they're calling me this morning, but it's one of the numbers that comes through even when my phone is off, so sorry about that. This is what God has been leading his people through. God has been teaching them, preparing them, guiding them. They regress. God punishes them for that, and in response to how God is leading them, they recommit themselves to God. They organize their lives around God. They place God at the very center. And then you get into the book of Numbers and you see this organized people following the will of God, and they're doing pretty good, which is a dangerous place for God's people to be. The moment you start thinking to yourself, man, I'm getting kind of good at this Christian thing. I mean, that is right before the prideful fall, is it not? You get good at being good, and you start to depend on your own goodness. And so what happens to most of us, if we don't stay humble, if we don't stay grounded to the word of God, what happens to most of us is we get pretty good at the Christian life enough that when God starts moving somewhere we haven't been yet, we don't follow. We go, well, that's not the way I would do it. And I'm one of God's people. I mean, surely God would have checked with me before he would have come up with a plan that I don't agree with. And when we say it like that, it sounds silly. We go, well, of course God's not checking with me for the plan for my life. Of course God is deciding by his own standard and his own righteousness, and I'm just along for the ride. But some of us get so good at acting holy and living the Christian life that we start thinking we have the answers when only God has the answer. We start thinking we know the way when only God knows the way. We start thinking that we know the timing, we know when to set out, we know when to set up camp, when only God knows all of that stuff. And so often, the people who claim the most spiritual authority but bear the least spiritual fruit run into the mistake of getting so comfortable that they fail to discern when the cloud has left them. They decide, I'm going to go my own way. I think I know best. And so the question this morning is, do you go where God goes? Even when it's tough, even when it's different, even when it's uncomfortable, do you stay when God keeps you somewhere, even when it's hard? Even when you don't want to be there, even when you've rather severed the relationship, even when you'd rather walk away, even when you'd rather leave the church or file for divorce or delete the contact or end the relationship or change the friendship, do you stay when God calls you to stay, going, your work's not done yet, I'm still growing you, you're not ready for the next chapter because I'm still teaching you lessons in this chapter? Do you move when God moves, or do you stay put when God stays put? Or are you one of those that goes, you know what, I've been a Christian a long time. I think I know my way around by now. Man, some of us, we just get so holy, we become unteachable. And the moment you become unteachable, you become irrelevant. And the moment you become irrelevant, you're like every old preacher that you know. You're like all those guys that, man, they were spiritual giants in their time, but they got put out the pasture because they started standing still when God started moving. They started choosing the hill to die on when God's saying, you haven't even gotten to the place that I'm sending you yet. So, whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out, but when it lifted, they would set out. And at the Lord's command, they camped. And at the Lord's command, they set out, and they obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with his command through Moses. Then you get into chapter 10. In chapter 10, for the first time, we see this moment towards the end of the chapter. And again, we're skipping all sorts of parts. I encourage you to go in and read it. Where some people go, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that. Maybe they're weary. Anybody, you know Christians, they just get tired of the journey. Man, I just can't do it anymore. I don't know if any of you have watched The Chosen. Have you guys seen the show The Chosen? I've seen a lot of blanks. If you don't know what The Chosen is, I never do that. I never give endorsements or anything, or I try not to give endorsements from the pulpit. But let me endorse a TV show real quick. The Chosen was a crowdfunded program about Jesus and his disciples, and it's awesome because it's not Hollywood, and it's just a group of Christians crowdfunding a show to represent the Bible, and it's so good. I cry every episode. That's embarrassing to say, but that's how good it is. I don't cry at a lot of shows, okay? I'm not that guy. Every single episode, I'm like trying to hide and like wipe away a little tear. You know, you see Jesus do something awesome. In the show, The Chosen, go watch it. It's awesome. You can watch it for free. Download the app, watch it for free. They show Nicodemus in exactly the same position. Nicodemus is this. And the reason I bring up The Chosen is because this is the first time I've seen motive applied to Nicodemus. Because in the Gospels, we see who Nicodemus is. He's going to God with a lot of questions. He's going to Jesus. He's saying, man, are you him? Are you the Christ? How do I have relationship with you? How do I follow you? And Jesus invites him to follow, and he can't. He chooses not to. And that's all we know from Scripture. And so the show assumes a motive that is well-researched and probably very accurate, that Nicodemus is just in that stage of life, man. It's just not worth the risk. That some of y'all, you just get there, man. You settle. And what you know spiritually is what you're going to know. And what you've done for God is what you're going to do. And so if you're one of those people that you've never preached a sermon before, well, then you're just not going to. Because maybe in your 20s, somebody would have pushed you out of your comfort zone. Somebody would have encouraged you, and you would have acquired a new skill. But now that you're in your 50s or 60s, you're kind of at that pace where you're like, you know what? If God hasn't gotten me there yet, I'm just not going to do it. And so you just stop moving. You stop growing. You're like, the totality of what I understand about the nature of God and the inerrancy of Scripture and the totality of what I understand about theology proper is just all I'm going to know. This is who I am. This is the Christian I'm going to be. I'm going to sit right here in my camp until God just forces his hand and does something with my life. And there's way too many Christians. You just do a lot of nothing. You're one of those people that God tries to move and you go, I don't know if I trust it. I don't know if I want to. It's different. It's uncomfortable. I've kind of got this life that's easy for me, so I'd rather just stay put. You get into chapter 10 and we see something similar taking place. So he orders all of his people. They get ready to march out the way God has instructed them. This was the order of march for the Israelite divisions as they set out. And that's all the previous 27 verses. Now Moses said to Hobab, son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, I will give it to you. So we're going to the place God has already promised us. If you're a Christian today, if you're a part of this church right now, understand, when we talk about, hey, we're selling the building, we're going to do something else, when we talk about what God is doing next for our church, when we talk about our next season at Riverside, listen, we're just going to the place that God has already promised us. He sets the destination, he puts us on mission, and we just go when he says to go. And when you do that, man, when you get in God's rhythm like that, and you just start moving with God, you start dancing the way that God dances. When God stops, you stop. And when God steps, you step. When you're just doing your life rhythms in rhythm with the gospel of Jesus Christ, when his will is affecting your way, your life gets easier. Because you don't have to have the answer, and you don't have to have the plan, and you don't have to know what's next. You just got to step where God steps. A lot of you think you've got to figure it out and that you've got to have the vision. You've got to understand every step. And the reason you think that is because you're not taking time to ground yourself in prayer, to get into the Word, to surround yourself with God's people so that you know the will of God and so that you have enough discernment in your life to know, is this just my own lacking heart or is this how God is moving his people? And if you're not in the Word, then you miss that. And it gets really easy to stay put when God is moving. But if you're doing that, man, if you're studied up and you're prayed up and you're going, God, I'm yours, use me however you call me to use me, then all you have to do is go to the place that God has already given to you. He's already marked it out for you. He's already promised it to you. And so here's Moses going, look, we're setting out for the place that God has already told us I'm going to give it to you. So come with us and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And then this man answers, no, I will not go. I'm going back to my own land and my own people. And Moses says, please do not leave us. You know where we should camp in the wilderness and you can be our eyes. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us. And what I want to ask you this morning is, do you make the same mistake? Are you that person that, man, you're just weary? We all get weary of the wilderness. We get burnt out. We get tired. God, I'm tired of not knowing. I'm tired of not being settled. I'm tired of the plan not coming together yet. I'm tired of you having to grow me and teach me lesson after lesson after lesson the hard way. I'm just so sick of the growing pains. I don't know if I want to take the next step on this journey. And a lot of people, man, a lot of people, they just get discouraged. It's not that God's not calling them. It's not that God hasn't purposed them. It's not that God isn't moving them where God is growing them. And it's not that God isn't taking them to the promised land. It's that they just didn't have the stomach for the trip. I don't want to go if it's hard. I want it easy. I'll go if it's easy. But the moment there's obstacles, I'm done. I'm taking my family. I'm going my own way. I'm choosing my own direction. I'm leading my own life. And this is what he's doing. He's going, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going back to my land and to my people. And the whole time God's going, when I go, you go. And where I dwell, you dwell. And when I say it's time, then it's time. And all you have to do is listen to my voice, obey my command. And too many of us are sitting there going, but I don't want to. I want to go to my people, to my friends, my community, my church, whatever. I want to go to my family, to my land, to my home, what I'm comfortable with in my ministry, in my work. Some of you look at passages like this, you think your family. Well, if my family isn't moving with me, I don't know if I want to go. That's one of the hardest decisions many Christians have to make, is God is moving you to a place that your family hasn't been moved to yet. A lot of you here were raised with a different church background than what you're currently experiencing now. And I know it didn't used to be like that. Riverside used to be, I remember years ago they did a survey way before I got here, and 85% of the church was a part of the Churches of Christ before they got to Riverside. Meaning we were not having conversion growth, we were having transfer growth, and that's not a mark of success in the life of a church. That means we got really good at taking Church of Christ people and grouping them together. We weren't necessarily good at preaching the gospel. Today, you look around the church, and more than half of our congregation were not Church of Christ before they got here. Many of you were raised Catholic, or you were raised in some other church form, and now you're here, and I understand it's very difficult. Some of you were raised in a very conservative version of the Churches of Christ, and as we move to where God's calling us, it's putting strain on your family. It's making things difficult for you, but because we're teaching through some texts and we're practicing some things in our spiritual life that maybe you didn't lean into in your church background. And look, I know it's very difficult. When your whole family is going a direction, it's very hard to go where God is calling you to go. Man, I know, just me announcing our announcement earlier and talking about how we're going to do things tonight. I mean, some of you, like, you're all for it, but you know you've got that one family member that's nervous about it. And so now you're nervous about it because they're nervous about it, right? Some of you, when we announced that we're selling the building, man, some of you are like, well, I don't know about that. Like, you didn't check with me first. Like, God, come on. Like, you're supposed to make the numbers work until you've talked to me about it first, and then I'll decide when it's time to do that. It's hard. It's hard to go where God is calling you to go when the people around you don't want to go with you. It's so easy to answer like this, man. I will not go. I'm going back to my own land where my people are. I'm going back to my way, my land, my people. That's what I'm comfortable with. And I want to give you the same message that Moses gives to his father-in-law. Please do not leave us, because you need your community and your community needs you. Moses is reminding him, you need to stay near the presence of God. You can't wander off. Structure your life around God. Let him lead. Just trust him. Just lean into him. Put your faith into him. God will guide you. You just got to trust him. And then the other thing he's trying to go is, look, this is better for you, because if you build your life around God, God will bless you. It's better for you, but also it's better for us, because you've got a purpose and we need you. Every one of us is gifted differently. Moses is looking at this person going, okay, God called me to lead, but God called you to be the eyes and to know where the camp and to help us find water and to help us find food and to be this scout for us. And it takes all of us coming together and working together in order to achieve the purpose that God is calling all of us to achieve together. And so it goes, man, don't go. Please stay with us, because we need you and you need us. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us. And this chapter finishes by going, so they set out from the mountain of the Lord and traveled for 3 days. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them during those 3 days to find them a place to rest. So God's presence goes out. Notice this. God's presence is going out in front of them, and God's saying, I'll find the place to rest. I'll find the next spot. I'll find the destination. You don't have to know the next place. You don't have to know where we're going next. You know the destination. You know the place that God is calling you to eventually, so you don't have to have the perfect plan for how to get there. God will show you where he's leading you. So they go out, and the cloud of the Lord was over them by day, and they set out there from the camp. Now, before we move on, I want to ask maybe a tough question. Do you let God lead your life? Because there are some people, they don't like to be led. I've been called rebellious all my life. I don't call myself rebellious, but a lot of people have called me rebellious, so I guess if the shoe fits. I do. I have a hard time with rules that don't make sense. If a rule doesn't make sense, I will not follow it. I'm not trying to be rebellious. It's just, if a rule is not enforceable, or if it's not practical, if it doesn't serve a purpose, then we shouldn't do it. And I, like, live by that and have paid for the consequences of living that way. And so, like, I know my nature. I know that I'm that way. And so my wife has always told me, she's like, man, I'm so glad that you became a Christian. Like, if you weren't a Christian, if you didn't let God lead your life, you would be a mess. And I think she's right, man. So many of us, like, our only way, our only hope, our only step forward is by letting God lead, because we know we're not good at, like, leading ourselves. We're not good at letting other people lead us. Like, God has to lead us, or else we crash and burn it. And my question to you is, are you willing to let God lead? Because so many people, man, it's like I lead my life. Nobody gets to, hey, God, if I agree with you, then I'll go. But if my people are going somewhere else, if my land somewhere else, if I have my eyes set somewhere else, then I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to remove myself from the presence of God. I'm going to remove myself from the people of God, and therefore remove myself from the provision of God, because I had an idea and I wanted to do things my way. My encouragement to you is, let God lead your life. Put God at the center of your life. Get into his rhythm. Learn his timing. Learn when he's keeping you somewhere to grow you, and learn when he's moving you so that you can get to the next chapter of your life, and then go where God goes. Rest amongst his presence. Now here's the neat part. They would wake up every morning, they'd walk outside their tents, they'd look over, and they'd see the cloud. And they'd go, that is the presence of God. I know wherever that cloud is, the Spirit of God dwells. You know where God's Spirit dwells today? It's in us. That's what he promises us. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. So this is the reason this is hard for us. This is the reason a sermon like this is hard. It's hard to trust God's leading because you don't always see the cloud move. They could watch it. They knew when God was moving. But now here, when Jesus died for our sins so that he could send his Holy Spirit into our hearts crying, Abba, Father, so that the gift of the Holy Spirit could dwell within us. When Jesus accomplished that for us, now wherever we go, the Spirit of God is. If I step, the Spirit of God steps because the Spirit of God dwells inside of me. And so look, you've got to be careful about your next step. You got to be careful about where you go because wherever you go, the Spirit of God is going with you. And so are you going God's way? Are you letting him lead? Is God directing your steps or are you just making it up as you go? I'll tell you, there's a number of ways that we learn to listen to God leading us. We go, okay, God, your Spirit dwells inside of me. You've given me your word to instruct me and to refine that. And so, God, how can I step only where you're calling me to step? How can I go only where you're calling me to go? And how can I get myself moving the moment you call me to move? I've got a list for you. You'll notice this is the same list of spiritual disciplines that we go over every 4 or 5 sermons or so. This doesn't change. It's the same way every time. But I just want to remind you. The first thing you do, if you're trying to discern where God is calling you, if you're going, God, what is my next step? The first thing that you do is look for consistency. By the way, if you're a note taker, if you don't like that I don't normally give you a good outline because you like to take notes in the sermons, this is the part you write down, okay? So how do I know where God is leading me? First of all, God's not going to call you to something that he didn't reveal to you in his word. God's word and God's spiritual leading are consistent. So if the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart that is contrary to the word of God, that's not the Holy Spirit. You guys following me? I see it all the time. People are like, you know, God gave me a message. I'm like, does that message line up with scripture? Because if the message doesn't line up with scripture, we don't have to go any further. The Bible teaches us that our hearts are wicked. Our hearts are capable of the deepest forms of deception. And so some of you confuse the sinful longings of your heart with the spiritual calling of God. And the easiest way to discern between the two is go to the Word. Saturate yourself with scripture. Sit in the Word of God. Study your Bible. Just understand the character and nature of God so that you know, is this God calling me or is this my own sinful temptation? You got to let God lead. You know what happened? When you start doing things your way, like you start creating a family, you're like, I'm not going to let God parent me according to his word. I'm going to find my own method. I'm going to reinvent the wheel. And every parent seems to try to do that for a little bit. And they learn, yeah, if my kids are going to be anything, it's because God is blessing my life. It's not because I'm a good parent. I see a lot of tired parents with awesome kids. And it's because you're like, I just gave up a few years ago. And like, God is guiding me. He's directing me. I'm just putting my faith in him. I realize I'm not the superstar. He's the superstar. We make much of him. And he figures the rest of this stuff out. Go to the Word, sit in the Word, and let God show you how he is calling your life. Nobody wants to go to your church. Nobody wants to do it your way. They want to do it God's way. I promise you, like, here's how I know that I've got to let God lead in my life. None of y'all would want to go to the church that Andrew builds if it was up to Andrew. Not a one of you. None of y'all would want to sit through sermons that are that long, right? Like, very few people are nerdy enough to sit in there and just let me do church however I want to do it, because we would just be sitting there doing Greek word studies. I'd have Greek up on the screen. That's like all it would be. I'd cut out everything else because I'd be like, let's just do this part because this is the part that I really connect with. And all of y'all would be like, yeah, I'm gone. That doesn't work for me. 2-hour sermons about Greek words that you can't pronounce doesn't sound like a good church growth model to me. And you would be right. I don't get to decide where God is taking us. I don't get to do things my way, and you don't get to do things your way. We just step where God steps. And so sometimes God will give me an idea, and he'll put it on my heart, and he'll show me how he's calling me, and I check it with the word, and I go, God, is this consistent with your word? And if it is, man, I just try to go. And what I often find out is as I try to go, God starts slamming doors in my face. And so I ask and I seek and I knock and I start banging down doors. And at the right time, precisely the right time, in precisely the right way, God opens the door and I take a step. And it's not long before that I run up against another wall. And I start knocking on doors again. And then at the right time, when God moves, not when I want to, not when I want it done, but when God decides it's my timing, you're going my way. He shuts all the other doors that I'm wanting to walk through, and he opens the one that I've been jiggling the handle of, and I take another step. And so you start by going, God, what does your word say? Because I can get off real quick. I can do things my way. I can go my own way real quick. What do I find in your word? Not what I've heard before. Not what I've heard taught. I don't know a single preacher, including myself, that doesn't have blinders on. We all have blinders on. We all miss stuff. Nobody's preaching is perfectly balanced, which means if you're not living in the word, you'll only ever get half-truths. I don't have enough time to unveil every little piece of this on a Sunday morning. You've got to go to the word of God and go, God, is the calling that I feel that you're putting on my heart, is the step that I'm wanting to take in line with your word? Because if it's not, that is not the Spirit leading. Step one, is it consistent with the word of God? Look for consistency. Step two, look for counsel. I think we forget God is the whole time, all throughout the Bible, God sets up leaders. Usually it's not the most likable guy. That's one point for Andrew, right? God will call up leader. It's not the person you expect. It's not the most talented. It's not the most educated. It's not the most competent. It's not the most confident. God calls up the last person you expect. He appoints leaders over his people, and the role of those leaders is to lead those people the way that God is calling those people. And so all of you have spiritual mentors, and you have people that God has set over your life to lead you. Seek good counsel. Go to your elders. Go to your ministers. Go to those people that will open the Bible with you and study the Bible with you. Seek good counsel through the leaders that God has appointed over you. Now, I would also say seek confirmation from those that you've appointed over you to lead you. You guys know the difference? How many of you have a teacher or a coach or a minister? Or maybe a parent, a mom, or a dad, that when you're trying to make a decision in your life, they're your first phone call. You know those people that, like, okay, when I'm stuck, when I don't know who else to talk to, I've got that person that I call. And that's the person that I'm seeing. Okay, God, what's God telling that person? And if God's telling that person what God's telling me, then God is confirming through wise counsel, through the consistency of Scripture, and through the confirmation of the leaders around me. God is confirming where God is growing me. So let me say it again. Look for consistency in the Word. Look for counsel from those God has appointed to lead you. Look for confirmation from those you've appointed to lead you. Look for commendation. This is like when somebody commends you, or you could say affirmation, but I'm going with C words here. Look for commendation from those God has given to walk with you. How many of you have your people? You know that if God is calling you somewhere, you're not having to take that step alone, that you've got people around you that are walking with you in your faith. If you don't have those people, if you don't have that community of people that, like, when God puts something on your heart, you go to your boys or you go to your circle of friends, you go to your people and you go, man, this is what God is calling me to, and then you wait. And sometimes God, through his discernment, puts on people's hearts to say, hey, that's a good plan, but I'd be careful. You hear I'd be careful enough times, you go, okay. Why is this not being confirmed? Why are God's people not moving the same direction? Because let me tell you this. What we see from this example is every tribe moves the same direction. This isn't a whole bunch of people going their own way, choosing their own path, deciding to camp wherever they want to. This is God moving an entire people group the same direction. And so I can tell you, man, I can show up to the people that are walking with me in my spiritual journey, the people that walk with me in my faith. I can show up to their dinner table. I can go over to their house, or I can call them up on the phone. I go, man, this is what God is putting on my heart. And 9 times out of 10, they go, man, if you only knew what I've been reading or what I've been praying about or what God has been revealing to me, we are perfectly in line with where God is taking us. So again, seek commendation for those that are walking with you in this life. And the last thing that I will encourage you to do, seek conviction from the Spirit. I said last thing, I got two more. Seek conviction from the Spirit. Some of you, man, you're just discerning as a person. God will put something on your heart, and maybe you've got to take it to the Word. You've got to find the relevant verses or whatever it is. But the Spirit works in you in such a definable way that you know, like when God puts on your heart, you trust it. And you've learned to trust the Spirit's leading in your life. And so, man, when God convicts you of something, go that way. Line it up with Scripture. Is this lined up with Scripture? Am I receiving good counsel? Am I getting this confirmed by the people around me? Am I getting commended by those that are walking in faith with me? And if so, then that conviction is a Holy Spirit-given conviction, and you know that you're stepping the direction that God's presence is calling you to step. And then lastly, you look at your circumstances. And circumstances play a big role, because when people accuse people of running ahead of God, or when people accuse people of maybe not moving as God moves, most of the time it's a misalignment of their plan versus God's plan. Because this is what I've learned in my life. When I try to stay somewhere, God just bumps me anyway. God's really good at giving me that nudge. Like, sometimes I'll double down on something. I'm like, no, like, I put a whole lot of work into this, and I've been working on this ministry model or this groups model or this curriculum or this sermon series for a long time, and so I put so much effort into it that surely God wants me to do this or go this direction or take this step or preach this sermon or whatever it is. And so you just got all your eggs in this basket, and then God goes, no, I'm just not going to allow it. Circumstances. I'm going to create circumstance that's going to dictate that you change your plan, because if you're not praying and you're not in the Word and you're not seeking good counsel, then as a last-ditch effort, the only thing I can do, if you're refusing to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, is just use the circumstances in your life to prevent you from taking the wrong step and only open the door that goes the way that I want you to go. God will use your circumstances to move you as a last resort. So I ask you, what's your purpose? What's your destination? Where is God calling you to go? Man, maybe you're with me. Maybe God is calling you to give Christ to those whom Christ is most for. And that means you're going to have to rub shoulders with people that don't really look like you. Maybe they're a little bit messier. Maybe they're a little bit more stuck than you are. Maybe they have a few more needs than you. Maybe they've got some more glaring sin issues than you. But I know Jesus has a heart for those people. Jesus loves the broken, burnt out, bedraggled, hopeless people who have no other choice but to put their full faith and dependence in Him. That's who Jesus goes after the most. And God has just put it on my heart to just be like Him and go after those people the most. I have a deep conviction in my life to seek the people everyone else has forgotten about, and that's where I'm going. And I have no idea how God's going to get me there. I have no idea what the next step is, but I believe if enough of us are walking together and enough of us are going to the Word and enough of us are allowing the Holy Spirit to convict our lives, and if enough of us are seeking good counsel, and if we're going to one another to confirm God's plan in our life, my conviction is all we have to do is take the step and God will guide us. Where you go, His presence is, because you are the temple of God and His Spirit dwells in you if you are a Christian. So where is God calling you to go? Anybody guess the verse I'm about to go to? He's calling them to go to Canaan. They're going to the promised land. Where are we going? Look around the world. You look around. You see the entire world around you. And sometimes we just get into our routines, man. We do it our ways. We're used to setting up camp and breaking down camp a certain way. We're used to sticking around a little while and then moving wherever God. And through our routine and through our meandering, we forget that there is a whole world out there. There's a lot of people that aren't even on your radar with a whole lot of needs, feeling a whole lot of lack of hope. And they're afraid and they're anxious and they're depressed and they got nowhere else to go and no one to turn to. and they don't know the way out. All of those people in that big old world out there, those are the people God says, that's where you're going. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Man, it's the idea of just, we're just going to go into the world and preach the gospel, that's scary if you're doing it alone. But when you're going where God goes, when you're stepping as God calls you to step, and when you're doing it according to God's timing because you're in God's rhythm, then the promise here is you're going to go and you're going to do, but you do it by his authority and you do it with his presence. When you put God at the center of your life and you go where God goes, you get to cling to this promise. Go into all the world, and then he ends, and surely I am with you. He's with you. His presence is with you. His Spirit dwells in you. You are the temple of the presence of God. Let me give you one more. We'll end Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so if you're not a Christian, this verse is with you. If you're sitting there going, I want that. I'm tired of trying to figure it out. I'm tired of trying to go my own direction and taking the wrong step and not receiving the blessing and not being surrounded by the people of God. Like, I'm tired of being alone in the wilderness. Then he reminds you that when you become a Christian, you die to all of that. You die to your old self. I've been crucified with Christ. My old self no longer lives. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Notice, Christ lives in me. I don't have to do it my way. I don't have to make it up. I don't have to just try to figure out where God's leading me. Man, I just take a step and God is with me. Wherever I go, God is with me. So all I have to do is go, God, where are we going? Where are you taking me? What way do you want me to go? Because God, what I trust is that if you show me the way and you tell me when, then I don't have to worry about figuring out the why. I just trust you. I know you'll get me there. And I know that you will grow me into the person that you're growing me to be. And I don't always know why. I certainly don't always know how. But I know that all I have to do is do it God's way according to God's timing. I want to encourage you this morning. We are setting ourselves up for the future as a church. If you're visiting with us, you don't have a church, now is a great time to become a part of the Riverside Church, because where we are going, we don't know. But we know God's leading. I can say with full confidence, man, none of us have the plan, but we know that God is leading. And the way we know that God is leading is we can see the fruit. And I look around, I see the lives being changed. I see the people being encouraged. I see the people so afraid to walk into a church that are now rubbing shoulders with us and doing life with us and leaning into the word with us. Like, the spiritual fruit is around us. We can see that God is taking us somewhere. All we have to do is give up control, let God lead, step where he steps, take it to the word, confirm it in faith, and then watch what God does with your life. If you're not a Christian, stop trying to do it your way. Die to your old self and let Christ live in you. If you are a Christian, stop trying to do it your way. Let go of all of that. Stop looking back at Egypt and step where God steps. Where the cloud goes, we go. I get nervous having to get up here and go, hey, I don't know what's next for us as a church. But what I'm encouraged by are messages in the Bible where I get to go, man, God's people almost never know what's next for them. They never know the way. All they know is that I'm going to go where God leads me. If the cloud moves, we're moving with them. Church, I hope you're with us, because we're going to go wherever the cloud takes us. And if you want to get into God's rhythm and you want to stop trying to have to figure it out on your own, we invite you to walk with us. Please come with us. And if you need to start that journey in faith right now, you can do so as we stand and as we sing.